Welcome to my Father's House podcast, episode 387, The Choice Chapter. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, September 22nd, 2024, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
So last week we talked about communing with Jesus, the Word. We talked about really knowing the truth. And because it's not just the truth that will set you free, the truth out here can't set me free, the truth that I don't know. But the truth that's really come alive in my heart is the one that's going to set me free, right? And so fellowshipping, becoming intimate with Jesus through his word is what causes transformation in our lives. And today's sort of a little extension of that, just taking it a few steps further. The title of the message is The Choice Chapter. And we've been studying Romans, the book of Romans, in our cell groups. And so the choice chapter, can you guess which number it is? Comes after 7, 8, before 9. Yeah, the choice chapter is Romans chapter 8. So we're going to not really unpack the whole chapter. I'm just going to share some things that have sort of come alive in my heart from Romans chapter 8. So some highlights from Pastor Sarah, I guess. So it's not like an in-depth, inclusive study on the whole Romans 8. So tell you that so you're not disappointed, like, oh, she didn't even talk about my favorite verse or something. If it's your favorite verse, that's awesome. Is it alive in your heart? You know, get it alive in your heart, and one day you can preach it too, or preach it to me, you know, share it with me. I want to hear. Because there's different things that that touch all of us. And wow, that Romans 8 is such a deep, such a rich chapter. I mean, we could have taken 5 weeks I was going to say at least the women, but no, probably the men too, to discuss and really share about what the Holy Spirit has to say from Romans 8. So, you know, Paul talks in the book of Romans about how Jesus activated the law of the Spirit of life, right? And that released us from condemnation and the cycle of sin and death. And even leading up to Romans 8, you know, we see around, I don't know, chapter 7, don't quote me on that, but like how we are dead to sin, and we become alive to Christ, right? 6? Okay, Pastor Santos says 6. All right. He's going to help me on the front row today. Praise God. And that we're no longer slaves to sin because of what Jesus did for us. We have been set free. Hallelujah. Because of Jesus, we've been set free. And that sin is no longer our master. It no longer controls us because of what Jesus did and because of what was activated there on the cross for us. We're not under the law that bound us, that once bound us. But we are under grace. That's that one I wrote down, Romans 6. That is Romans 6. Verse 14, it says that we're not under the law that bound us, but under grace. Because, you know, we need the law, right? We need the law. Without the law, we don't know how we're supposed to act. We don't know what God's expectations are of us. Can you imagine if there was no laws about speed limits? We would have, sometimes it already is a free-for-all on the road, but imagine no, like, street laws, no speed limits. It would just be everyone just does what they feel like, and that would be chaotic, right? And society, life would be chaotic, spiritual life, all aspects of life would be chaotic if we didn't have a measuring stick, which is the law, which is why God initiated the law, right? So that his people would know what to do and what pleased him and how they could honor him. But that got binding some people up, right? Humanity, right? It became such a thing that because the law became condemning us, it became like how could I ever measure up to all that the law says, all that was expected of me, right? And so we know that sin causes, it leads to death, right? The wages of sin are death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So there was a problem because sin, we were trapped before Jesus, right? Humanity was trapped in this cycle that would just go around and around and around, like a merry-go-round just being, have you ever gotten stuck on a merry-go-round? I don't know. That would be kind of not pleasant. Maybe after, you know, like hours, and you're just on this calesita, we say in Spanish, and you can't get off. Like, oh my gosh. So sin, I don't want to sin, but I sin, like Paul says, right? And it causes me to sin, and then it leads me to death, and I'm just going around. I don't want to, but I do it, and I do it because I don't, you know, and it's just the struggle that goes around. Can anyone relate to this? That's a problem, right? It's the law of sin and death. And because of sin in our lives, because we've gotten off track and made wrong choices, it causes many death in the sense of not like, I mean, it could be physical death, like I croak, you know, keel over up here. No, I speak life over myself in Jesus' name. But it could be death. In, when I say death in a general sense, I'm talking about death, spiritual death, right? Being separated. You guys are going to help me preach today. This is good. Separated from Jesus. That's right. And praise the Lord. And death in every area, every aspect of life. So death in your body would become, what would that look like? Disease, sickness, right? Death in your finances would look like poverty, lack. I'm trying to pull my pockets out, but they're not very deep. So it's hard to do that. You know, like, yeah, broke, zero, nada. I don't have anything, right? Death in your relationships is just bad, toxic, you know, having disunity, discord. What's another area of life? Your health, right? We talked about it, just all the areas of where when sin causes death, death in all of these areas, right? So that's a problem. That is a problem. And so then entered the scene Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for us. You set us free from the law of sin and death, which is the first verse of Romans 8. It says, therefore, so we kind of summarized a little bit that we were dead to sin, that he was talking about, because then therefore is like, there has to be something before it, right? He was talking about these things. And then he says, therefore, because of that, there is now no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. This is one of the first verses when I received Jesus and became a Christian, like really rededicated my life, but I knew known about Jesus. I'd grown up in a church, but I didn't know how to have a relationship with Jesus, and I had never really looked to him as my Lord and Savior before. But then I did that right in around 2000, whenever it was, I don't know, 2002-ish, and this verse about was one of the first verses that I remember being taught and like remember like really catching hold of. Like, I need this verse because I was a shoulda, woulda, coulda kind of, I was stuck in that. I should do this, or I have to do this, and like being just bound up, being tied in this cycle of what I should do, but I can't, and I'm struggling, and my pastor My dear Pastor Jenny brought me to and taught me this verse that there is no condemnation for you. You're in Jesus. You are free from that cycle of sin and death that you just, like the hamster wheel or the calesita, the merry-go-round that you can't get out of. You can get out of it. Oh, I can? That was good news for me. That was good news that I could get out. And so I'm going to share some of this good news with you today, that you can get out of that cycle of, beating yourself up and condemning yourself because I should do this, but I want to do this and I can't do this. And I'm just experiencing death in different areas of my life. And what do I do? What do I do? You know, because God loves us so much that he knows what sin does to us. He knows that sin hurts us. He created us with all of his love, his power, just with all of his heart giving to us, creating our bodies, creating us. And he imagine how we hurt his heart when he sees us sinning, because we are his beloved. We are his creation. It's like this. I have some bag of props today. Are you ready for my bag of props? I'll just leave it here. So I'll just keep... When things get a little boring or it looks like you guys are falling asleep, I'll just go and grab another prop to keep things exciting. So it's kind of like this. I have this nice watch. Thank you. He said, don't do anything really crazy with it because, you know, it is kind of expensive. So this nice watch, imagine like maybe this is more, you know, like old-fashioned day, like the watchmaker who made this. You know, now we have all these fancy, I'm like, I can't use my Fitbit or iWatch to like really demonstrate what I want to demonstrate. So this watch, imagine that like this quirky, cool watchmaker guy just loves like putting these watches together. And this is very intricate. I don't really understand how this works, but there's like cogs in here. There's like things that turn. And apparently, I think my husband has told me that it doesn't tick until it matches with your pulse or something makes it go. So I'm sure there was a lot that went into this watch. You can check it out. Just give it back to him. No. And so imagine the watchmaker made this and he created it and he like put all of his talent and expertise, and maybe he had to train by, you know, maybe he had was an apprentice of a different cool watchmaker guy for years. And he made this watch and he gives it to somebody, like, let's say his son. He gives it to his son, like, I'm so excited to give you this gift, this beautiful watch that, you know, is going to, you know, shine on your wrist, and it's just really cool, right? And what if the son, like, is just like, oh, I'm not really impressed by a watch, like, whatever. And he finds the watch one day that his dad has given him, and he just decides, oh, I'm just, oh, hey, I, you know, can't find my hammer and I'm doing a job or something and I'm going to just use this watch and I'm just going to hammer it. I'm going to use it to hammer the nail. Imagine the dad. Imagine the watchmaker. Imagine his heart like, no, I didn't create it for that. Like, I gave it to you to enjoy, to wear, to use, right? And that's what Father God, I believe that's maybe just a little piece of his heart looking at us when we're just continually sinning, continually stuck, and using our bodies, our lives in a wrong way that he didn't intend. You know, he sent Jesus on the cross to give us abundant life, not to use what we've been given to just throw it away or use it for a purpose that's going to harm, like, you know, like we do sometimes, like using a watch to hammer in a nail. We do things that we're like, we're banging our head against the wall and we don't even realize it and we're stuck. So Jesus, let's talk again. There's no, about Romans 8, 1 and 2. I want you to hear it in the Passion Translation. It says, now the case is closed. I tried to think if I had anything that could represent a gavel. I'd like to know, like, a judge. Wouldn't that be cool? And like, hey, could I borrow your gavel? Like, the case is closed. Boom. The gavel comes down, right? when a case is closed, it's not open anymore. It's closed, right? There's no question. There's no debate. It's not open-ended. It is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. Are you joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One? Then there is no voice, accusing voice of condemnation against you. If you feel that, if you hear a condemning, accusing voice against you, guess what? That's not Jesus. I'll say it again, like Pastor Don, that's not Jesus. That's not Jesus. That's the devil. He's the one that accuses. He's the accuser of the brethren. Because Jesus has set us free. The case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus. He's the Anointed One. For the law of the Spirit of life flowing through the anointing of Jesus has liberated us from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Right? We talked a little bit about death in the ways that could manifest in our body. So the law of Spirit of life, Jesus came, like we really, was kind of a key verse on Friday night in the Healing Masterclass. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Amen? He came to destroy every evil thing that Satan was trying to pervert or contaminate, right? And so, the law of the Spirit of life is Jesus Christ, and he brought the new birth. Satan was getting people trapped up, humanity, in the law of sin and death, right? Causing spiritual death, causing demonic oppression, unrighteousness, sickness, poverty, hatred, failure, lack, and it's all activated by fear. Enter in Jesus. Enter in Jesus. Hallelujah. He's the new birth, right? Through him, we have new life. We have the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We have righteousness. He's made us right. He's totally wiped away our sin, right? And the stain of sin and all the effects of death. He's brought healing. He's brought prosperity, love, success. It's all activated on our part by faith. So, no more accusation. No more accusation. Here's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Colossians 2. God woke me up several years ago. I don't even remember all the context. I think I had had a conversation with somebody, and they were asking me some questions about things, and I knew the answer without knowing scripture for the answer. And then a few nights later, I had been listening to a message that day about we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And so I was woken up, and it was like, I think I sat up in bed, my poor husband. I have church sometimes in the middle of the night, and I speak in tongues, and sometimes I laugh, and sometimes I cry, and sometimes I sit up reading scripture. And so I sat up in bed, and I was like declaring, you've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Like, you've been redeemed. It was just getting down in my spirit. The Holy Spirit was like still just like hammering that home to me, like, no, really, you've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Isn't it fun to be married to me? Praise the Lord. We have church, you know. He didn't know that he was going to church, but when he goes to bed, but sometimes, yeah. Anyways, where was I going with that? Oh, yeah, along with, you've been redeemed from the curse of the law. There was like a little whisper that was like, Colossians 2, Colossians 2. I was like so excited to get out of bed. And what's Colossians 2 say? I'm like, okay, Lord, I know you're going to speak to me. Just, yeah, I open my heart. I receive that. And I'm reading and I'm like, don't see it yet. Don't see it yet. Don't see it yet. Get down to about verse toward the end of Colossians 2. Highlighter, bam, it hits me. It says, you were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. There it is. Boom. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And it went with that scripture too. You know, of course, that scripture from Galatians, right? Is that where that is? Yeah. Anyways, I'm not preaching on that today. That's a different message. But it ties in with this, right? You once were dead because of your sins, because you were stuck in this cycle of the sin of death, the law of sin and death, and you couldn't get out because your sinful nature was still controlling you. It was still leading you. It was still there. And then it says, then God made you alive with Christ because he forgave all your sins. He canceled. Did you know that there's charges that before we come to Jesus, right? The wrath of God is against a person because they're not right. They're not made right with God. Okay. New illustration. Oh, gosh. My illustrations are falling apart. Okay. Bear with me. Nobody's falling asleep, right? Okay. Praise God. I have to assemble this. All right. Y'all good? All right. There's charges against a person, like, because we can't measure up to the sin, or we can't measure up to the law, sin condemns us, right? And then we talked about the accuser of the brethren. He's so lovely. He's, oh, you did this, you did that, you messed up, you're just a failure, why do you even try? Blah, 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 blah. Shut up, right? Right? And so imagine that this is a book of charges against a person. And imagine that these are all like filled with the charges against you. And imagine that you're like in the court of law and they're just having a review of your life. And okay, first one, lying. Oh boy. Yeah. I kind of done that. So that's a problem. Next one, cheating. Have you done that? Yeah. Okay. And so here's you on like, they're, you know, what do you say? Examining you, like you're on the stand, right? And they're accusing, bringing these accusations against you. Stealing, envy. I only did four, but we could just keep going. It's kind of fun to keep ripping these out of the book here, right? And so you have all these charges stacking up against you. And what do you have to say for yourself? Like, yeah, I'm pleading guilty. Like, I've done some of these. I've been envious of my neighbor or a friend or whoever. Like, why do they get that? And I don't know, you know, and cheating and lying and stealing and all these things. Well, let's go back to the verse that we just read. Well, Romans 8:1-2. No accusing voice of condemnation against you, right? And then what did Jesus do? Back to Colossians 2. He nailed these to the cross. Each one of the charges against you, I decided I won't bring like a real hammer or anything like that and be dangerous. But, you know, he nailed each charge to the cross. And so in a sense, it's cutting it up, right? That's fun. Nailed. I don't have little nails. I don't know. But it's fun to rip these. So I'm just going to keep ripping them. Like Jesus came in to that courtroom and said, I'll be their advocate. I'll be her lawyer. I'll take the punishment because of what he did on the cross for me, that he nailed each of the charges against me to the cross. that they have no more power in my life, breaking the power, the terrible cycle that I was in of the law of sin that caused death in my life. I'm free from that. I've been set free because of the Spirit of life, because of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Does anyone get excited about that? That's what Jesus did for us, right? He made us alive. We have to receive this by faith. Like I said, it's activated by faith. It's, do you believe what Jesus has done for you? And do you want to apply that? And maybe you've applied that, applied this, these verses, you've taken hold of that for one area of your life, but maybe not another. Maybe you're really dealing with sickness, symptoms, diseases, you know, whatever in your body. Well, the law of sin and death, we said death could cause in your body realm, in the health realm, could cause sickness, right? He reversed the curse of that. He stopped that cycle of death. He paid the price. He satisfied the wrath of God so that you don't have to deal with that anymore. But you've got to receive that. And for each area, if it's your finances, if it's your relationships, if it's whatever it is, just your thoughts, your thought life, you've got to receive it. It's like I could walk into, I mean, if I had the authority to, maybe I'd take Tim with me or something, to like a jail cell. And if I said to a prisoner who was locked up, like, you're free. You're free to go. And I opened the door. No more shackles. Like, that person would have to believe me. They could still sit there. They could be totally free. Or I could apply the same illustration, like same metaphor to like a bird in a cage. Let's say I get a bird and I put it in a cage and I maybe restore it or something. And then I'm going to let it, set it free, right? If I open the door, but the bird doesn't fly out, if it doesn't believe me, like that the door is open, then the bird is just there, but the door is open. Like, nothing's holding that bird back. Nothing's holding that prisoner back if they've truly, you know, been set free. And the one with authority, the one with authority, Jesus, right, has said, you are free. You are free from all the manifestations of death in your body. You don't have to suffer that anymore. So I'm telling you today, little birdie, the door is open. Go out, fly, you know, in your body, fly. Fly with the divine health that Jesus has given you. And I'm preaching to myself too. Fly. No more symptoms, no more pain, no more sickness in my body. Fly, you know, in your, I don't know, whatever, you know, struggling with fear. That's a form of death. Fear and anxiety. Fly. Go. You're free. We got to change our thoughts, right? We've got to get renewed in our mind of what Jesus has done for us, what he says to us. And so we apply the truth of the scripture in whatever area that we're fighting so that we can win. He made a way for us to win. All right, let me ask you a question. Who or what controls you? Who or what is controlling you? Your flesh or your spirit? Because we're off the hook now. The door is open to the cage. Jesus has done it. He's taken care of the wrath of God. He satisfied the law on our behalf. And he said, I have done it for you so that you can go free. No shame, no condemnation, no guilt, no sickness, no poverty, no failure, no lack, no none of that. You are free and free indeed. So be free, right? Be free, little sheep. Bah, I'm free. Enjoy the pasture. He's the great shepherd. Bah. So what's controlling you? What's leading you? Because we still have this thing called the flesh. Oh, man, the thing called the flesh. We love to blame stuff on the devil all the time, but guess what? you know, my flesh likes chocolate. And I could go eat chocolate, lunch, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, right? I know somebody in my house that would love that too. But, yeah, he's raising his hand. Yeah, me, sign me up for that. But, you know, is that a good choice? We're talking a lot lately about good choices. So, you know, do we want, we have the choice, the title of the message, the choice chapter. Paul then, as we go down here, he really lays it out here for us that we have a choice what we're going to do. Because Jesus has satisfied the wrath of God, there's no one can condemn us unless we allow them to or we condemn ourselves, right? When we get the truth in the hearts and we know who we are in Christ and we know what Jesus has done for us, back off. Any lie that comes against that, back off, right? But I have to choose. I have to know who I am, and I have to have the truth built up in my heart. So every day is kind of like this struggle. Every day is like, hang on, give me a second. Oh, man. I don't know, am I still on live stream or am I off the screen? I'm on, okay. Here I go. I really miss the handheld mic. Okay. Every day is like a boxing match, right? You wake up, round one, you get out of bed, your eyes open, ding, 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 it's on. Is it the spirit or is it the flesh? Who's going to control me today? Who is going to control? Can anyone relate? You know, you're not even out of bed yet. Your eyes have just opened. Ding, ding, ding. The flesh is like, oh, what can we get into today? Let's go have some chocolate for breakfast. Oh, let's see when you get to work or you're driving to work and somebody cuts you off in traffic. Ooh, the flesh is like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We're gonna lead the train today. And we, you know, have the Spirit of God in us now, right? We know who Jesus is. And so there's a struggle there because we want to do, like Paul, we want to do the right thing. We want to have the Spirit of God control us. But there's this like boxing match going on inside of us sometimes, right? Boom, boom, boom. Who's going to win? Boom. This feels good. Getting out some stress. Praise the Lord. Boom. Take that. Flesh, take that, devil. Who's going to lead? We have the choice. So let me tell you something. I'm just going to keep these on because they're kind of fun. So we have the fruit of the Spirit. Anyone know what fruit of the Spirit? We're kind of skirting around here. Self-control is an important one. It's like the last one that's mentioned, right? That's right. You've got it. And he knows them too. And so the one at the end, it's not the fruit of the Spirit's not a watermelon. You know that song? Fruit of the Spirit's not a watermelon. So let's talk. I got to stay on track. You know, I got to stay on track today. But so self-control. That's what I'm using right now. Self-control. So self-control, we think that it's like me trying to control myself. Like, you know, and that's really when we get into the struggle too. Like, flesh, like me controlling myself. But the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit of self-control really is I get to choose. I get to choose who's going to lead my life today. Who's going to lead the train? Am I going to allow my flesh to lead my train? Be the engine that takes me around? And, you know, Paul says that leads to death. We're going to look at the scripture in verse 5 in a second. Or am I going to allow the law of spirit of life, am I going to allow the Spirit of Jesus who lives inside of me, all of the fullness lives inside of me, and I can choose, take that flesh, Spirit wins. I'm choosing peace. Like the other day. Well, like lots of times this week. I had lots of chances. I was kind of in a boxing match a lot of this week, okay? And thank you for those who prayed for me. Because... So whatever day that my car decided to not, Friday. So I'm coming home in the morning, and my car just decided, it started with some weird lights and flashing, and I'm like, this is weird. Like, I have my seatbelt on, but it was like telling me, it was dinging like when you don't have your seatbelt on. And I was like, just ignored it for a while and kept driving. Oh, I'm in the spirit. I'm in peace. And then it starts flashing, like all the power and the radio and all that stuff goes out. And then like, it's really hard to push the gas. And then I'm like, okay, the car is dying. Like, we're done here. And I'm going to stay in the spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that His grace helped me stay in the spirit, because with some other events of the week, I could have just crumbled. And He helped me just keep my composure. And God sent people to help. And we had like a whole little community there hanging out there. And like, I said, oh, my husband's on his way. And it was awesome. The most awesome part was that I didn't allow the fleshly thoughts to take over. And I was the emotional part. Gosh, our emotions. Emotions, take a back seat. I mean, we need emotions. God gave us emotions. It makes life exciting, maybe, at times, right? But if we allow our emotions to control us, we're on a roller coaster. And like I've said before, we get whiplash. I am a whiplash recovery person. I've recovered from whiplash in my life, from emotions like slapping me all around, because I've learned with discipleship and with getting in the Word, and I haven't arrived yet by all means. There are times when I choose right, praise the Lord, and I'm able to like shift into the Spirit. Sometimes it just happens. It's like, oh, the grace of God. It's not even like a conscious thing. And that's awesome, because that means that you're like, the more that we're able to not have to like feel this struggle and it just goes that way, it means you're setting a new default. Like, you're reprogramming your system to just go the way of the Spirit, go the way that the Word says. Like, I keep in complete peace those whose minds are stayed on me, on Christ, not me. So, okay, I better take this off because, can you help me? Because, okay. Should I leave that one? I'll just take it off. All right. Everlast. Christ is everlasting. Praise the Lord. So in verse 5, it talks, in verse 6 and 7 and 8, it talks about this choice that we have. And it kind of lays out, like, it lays it out for us. Verse 5, it says, you know, I didn't write this all down. I'm trying this new preaching thing. So the mindset on what the flesh desires, if we allow the flesh to control us, then our mind is just goes the way that our flesh is going, if we allow that to lead us. Or we can choose to have our mind be set on what the Spirit desires. Verse 6, it says, the mind ruled by the flesh, it leads to or equals death. Right? So it's telling us, it's laying it just right out there for us. When you allow your flesh to lead your mind, to lead your thoughts, you're going to end up dying. You're going to end up in a bad place. Spiritual death, right? It's going to end bad. Like, if I had allowed myself or chosen to just get really upset about the car breaking down, then it wouldn't have been life and peace that I did experience, right? The mind ruled by the Spirit is life and peace. There's a big contrast. There's a big difference. And it is so worth it to choose life and peace. I'm sure you can think of instances, circumstances in your life when, whether you intentionally chose and you're like struggling through to get to choose setting your mind on the Spirit rather than the flesh, and you see the results. And there's time when we miss it and we mess up and we get pulled over into the flesh realm and we allow our mind to be led by that. And you see the difference. You see the results, right? And so, Holy Spirit, if we haven't made that connection, maybe with like a certain struggle, like one area that we're struggling with, show us the connection, like show us the difference, like play back the movie of a day for us of, okay, here's where you did it well, and this was the outcome, and then here's where you missed it a little bit, right? He wants to teach us. He wants to, the Holy Spirit is our helper to disciple us really into the Spirit. So we can reset our mind back to the Spirit. How do we do it? I recommend sleeping on the Word of God, you know, like osmosis, that works. Get it in your heart, right? Get the Word alive. We have to get our minds renewed because walking in the Spirit, that's what we're talking about. What is this walking in the Spirit? The Spirit is the realm of God, the realm of life and peace. And where we find the Spirit is His words, their Spirit and their life and their truth, right? And they will, knowing them, will set us free. So there is hope for us. We can learn to set a new default in our minds. So, you know, this classic metaphor, illustration, there's a fight between a white dog and a black dog, and which one is going to win? We could do dog noises again this week, like last week, right? German Shepherd versus Chihuahua. You know, these two dogs, white dog, black dog, which one's going to win? The one that you feed. The one that you feed, that you give attention to, that you give focus to, the one that you nourish, that's the one that's going to win. Whatever we put our attention, our focus on, we, you know, you're giving it strength, right? And so that's like the choice that we have. What do you want to choose? Because do you want to feed your spirit? There are ways to feed your spirit. The fruit of the Spirit's not a watermelon, right? Eating watermelon, eating chocolate all day, and watching Netflix or something, that's not going to feed your spirit, right? What are things that feed your spirit? Reading the Word. Good. Pray. Worship. Being with God, right? Renewing our minds. Praying. Did we say praying in the Spirit? Praying in tongues. Praying continuously. Abiding in Him. Keeping that communion, that intimacy with Jesus, even when your car is broken down and you're like, you know, okay, Jesus, you're with me and it's all right. And He just sent people and it was awesome. We can stop the fleshly thoughts, right? A bird, I think I said this last week, a bird can fly over your head, but it doesn't have to make a nest in your mind. You can chew it on. Right? We've been given authority. Hallelujah. Amen. Boxing glove. Go. I'm choosing to not let that thought fester. We can do it. We can stop those thoughts. We can reprogram. We can put in the Word of God. Get the truth alive in your heart that counters the lie that makes your mind go the wrong way. Right? And so, Romans 8, let's look at verse 9. It says, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. Did you hear that? You're controlled. If you have the Spirit of God living in you, then that means you're already controlled by the Spirit. You're led by the Spirit of God. That's some good news. That's like weight off of me. Okay, then He's on my side. He's going to help me. The Spirit can lead me, and I have to choose that. I have to choose to step in the direction of the Spirit continuously, and then again, or I can choose this way, and then that's going to lead me to the pit of death. Life and peace is over here, choosing to walk in the Spirit. And then it says, and remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. So, The choice is yours. The choice is mine. But we are not obligated to the flesh. way. Really? Sometimes I feel like I am, but we have a choice. There's always a choice. There's always a way or a way out, a way for us to not be just, we're not trapped in that cycle of sin and death anymore. We can get out. We can choose. We can choose the way of Christ. We can choose life with our thoughts. How much of Jesus's life do you want? How much? We can apply all of it. We can receive all of it. Nothing is off limits to us. The door on the cage has been opened. Fly, little birdie. Fly. It's all available to us. What are you reaching for? And if you do mess up, get up. It's okay. Dust. Isn't there a little song? Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, do it all over again. You know, do it again. It's okay. Get up. Call for prayer. Call somebody, cell group leader, cell group sister, cell group brother. Somebody out there, help me. Right? Send up a flare. We need help sometimes, and that's okay. So I have a story, a testimony that I want to share from a few years back. And it really illustrates this whole thing of walking in the spirit or choosing to walk in the flesh. And so I had been in that cycle of choosing the flesh. I'm just going to be honest. This was, I don't know, 2016 maybe, after the time that Revive came and whatever, and I had been here at church for a few years and being discipled, and I was struggling. I don't even remember really what the struggle was, but I think I was really struggling in my emotions and feeling really down and discouraged and just like, I was probably just upset because I was waiting for my knight in shining armor and I was just lonely and, you know, discouraged and like, God, what is happening in, you know, in this life? And all the things that you've told me, like, I don't see any of it. And so I got revived. God revived me through Time to Revive. They had come, and it must have been 2016. And because there was like an anniversary, there was some like special 3-day you know, we're going out on the streets, and then we'd come back and have services at night, and I got revived. Like going out on the streets, sharing the gospel, it just made me like lift my countenance up from looking at my own problems, my own belly button, and like me, poor me, and then you know, sharing the gospel with other people. Jesus just jumpstart. Like I remember giving testimony that Sunday after that weekend of the 3 days in church. Like there had been a spiritual battle going on with me, and I got up and I gave testified that Jesus jump-started me, like going out on the streets and preaching the gospel, that he just like, phew, I felt like so different. Like the struggle, it was in the past, right? And I was like, I'm back on track, and Jesus jump-started me, and blah, blah, blah. And guess who gets upset about that? The devil, because it was a spiritual battle. And so that afternoon, I went somewhere and to a public place, and I wasn't careful, and I left all this stuff on the front seat of my car, and I'm walking back to my car, and I start feeling like crunching under my feet, and I like look down, and there's like glass, like I'm walking on glass, like all, and then I look in my car window, and it's like all broken in, like somebody smashed in my car window and like stole all this stuff, stole all my stuff from church, mini iPad and Bible and wallet and checkbook, and you know, good thing I'd given a good tithe offering that day, but you know, like, because then I didn't have anything left, and, you know, my little niece was with me, and it was just like, what in the world is going on? And it was like, okay, there's something happening here. And throughout throughout the course of the day, God spoke so much to me in that day and in that little season. There were definitely some tears that day of like, and then I called pastors, and pastors are just amazing. And they come like, okay, where are you? And we're coming to the rescue, and we're coming with like, dustpan and I don't know all the stuff that you brought. And then took my car off and cleaned off all the glass because you couldn't sit on it because that would be literally a pain in the bottom. And because there was just glass all over it and like it was just all a mess. And so now, you know, the thoughts could, and they started to come about like identity theft because my checkbook and all my credit cards and like all my stuff. And so we go back to the apartment and some of the brothers and sisters that are here today were there, and they came, and God just showed me his love. Like, you are not alone. Pastors came, Santos came, my knight in shining armor. I didn't see it at that time, but he was going after me, pursuing me. So he's like, you need help? I'm showing up. And he showed up, and Rivka came, and they went to the park, I think. They went to where it happened and looked in all the dumpsters to try to find my, you know, like maybe they just tossed some of the stuff that they didn't want, like the purse and, you know, some things or whatever. And they sat with me for probably a long time as I like one by one called each like credit card company, and like in between calls, I don't know if you remember this. I think I was trying to collect myself. I would cry. I think I remember crying in between each one of like, okay, like I can do this. And like, you know, big adult stuff, like figuring out what numbers to call and canceling all these cards. And, you know, somebody stole all my stuff. And, you know, maybe like, it's like a snowball thought that could just keep rolling down the hill and get bigger and bigger of like, you know, somebody could come into my apartment because, you know, they can find out where they have my address and like all this stuff. And like fear could just totally have swept over me. And that was a wild day. That was just a wild day. So I'm processing through, like, I, you know, finish with, you know, press 3 if you want to do it online. I'm like, it was a Sunday, so I'm like, I need to talk to somebody, you know. So after the whole hassle of going through one card, like put it down and then go through the list and like, okay, what's the next card? And I'm like, you know, I think God's doing something. And I remember talking and them just like being sounding board for me of like, I think something's happening because, you know, I wasn't doing well. And then I got well and Jesus jump-started me and I gave testimony in church. And then the devil, the devil's trying to like get me back into that place of like squashing me down and having me go back to that pattern of just being in the flesh and being upset and being discouraged and your life is this and that. And it just like started to like slowly, but rise up in me of like, no. Like the choice, it was like such a, like, no, I'm not going to let this happen. Like I could choose. I don't think I had maybe had that revelation up to that point in my life that like, I didn't have to allow just the circumstance of what had happened to pull me down. I thought I did. And I think I lived a lot like that, just going by circumstances. And therefore I'd end up with like whiplash and, you know, like I described, because just life was tossing me around and then I would hurt myself from it. You know what I mean? Metaphorically speaking. Okay. A few people are following me. All right. And so let me just speed this up. So what happened? A girl got saved. Remember that? Glory in the middle of all of this. You know, we're like, had been trained in sharing the gospel. And so we saw this neighbor outside, right, Sister Rivka? And we started sharing the gospel with this girl. And she prayed the prayer to receive Jesus. And I remember her prayer. It was amazing. It was amazing because we didn't say anything what had just happened to me. And she started praying for us. And she said, keep these girls safe. And I'm like, yeah, keep me safe. Like, what is she saying? Like, she was like prophetically praying. Like, she, if that wasn't proof that when somebody receives Jesus, they receive the Holy Spirit. I mean, she was like, She was saying, keep these girls safe, and thank you for them coming to talk to me, and just bless them over the top, Lord, and let no harm come to them. And I'm like, yeah, I receive that. Yeah, I receive that, because, like, there could be some problems, you know, there could be some identity theft. And, like, God had us covered. The Holy Spirit had us covered. And so this girl got saved, and then we meet back up with them, and we went out to dinner, right? And, like, we get in the car, we're like, this girl just received Jesus, like, oh my gosh. And it was amazing. And it was like, okay, now I'm walking in the Spirit. Like, yeah, God is winning. The Holy Spirit is winning. And I remember, so at dinner, I'm processing through all this stuff. And I remember Sister Rivka, I don't know if you remember saying this to me, but that impacted me. God used her as a mouthpiece to say to me, you know what? Like, somebody can take your whatever, they can take anything from you, any material thing that you have. Your, you know, in that case, it was the mini iPad, my Bible. That was probably the dearest thing, the thing that was hardest that I was lost that day was, you know, material thing, was the Bible, because it was like my story with Jesus, right? And I had all the dates and things that he had spoken to me through all the missionary years and all the things. But anyways, you know, somebody can take away physical things. They could take even your ID that says who you are. But she said, looked at me in the eye and said, nobody can take away what Jesus has done in your heart today. Nobody can take that away. And I was like, you're right. Oh, yes, devil. You're trying to step on me and you are not anymore. Oh, you're under my feet. Like, I am choosing life and peace. I am choosing the Spirit. I am choosing to walk in the Spirit and not to be led around, drug around, really, whiplashed around by the circumstances that want me to just believe what the flesh would tell me about those whatever XYZ circumstances. Because then we're going to live in a torment. We're going to live in a storm. We're going to live in up and down and all over the place. And one of the things that I'm so thankful over the years with that experience and many others, that Jesus has taught me, be steady on my word. It is Spirit. It is life. It is life and peace. When you choose my Spirit, when you choose my word, and the more you put that in your heart, the more it'll come out. So somebody can take your car, your house, your whatever, like everything that you have, everything that you consider dear. But you know what? They can't take away the fact that Jesus loves you and that he set you free, right? They can't take away that you are more than a conqueror, it says later on at the bottom of the chapter, in chapter 8, right? And it says, we'll just kind of end with this because, yeah. It's almost been an hour. Praise the Lord. Where is it? Here it is. If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Like, we've got to get that in our hearts so deep that he loves us so dearly. And he sent Jesus to do all of it for us and to set us free. And we can choose to line up with that and choose to walk in that way. Or we can choose to just be drug around, tossed by every wind and wave, and what our flesh, how our flesh interprets the circumstances and things that we're living. If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything? He'll give us everything else. Everything is available to us. We have it all. Romans 8 and 35, it says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or if your car gets broken into and all your stuff gets stolen, or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? I mean, much worse than just your car getting broken into. Threatened with death? Does it mean that he no longer loves us? And so then we tell ourselves, like, oh, he no longer loves me because this happened and that happened, and I'm worthless, and we go into the track of lies. Let's get a new default, that he loves us so dearly, that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. No, Paul answers, verse 37, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation can ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. That's it. That's it. When you get a revelation like I did that day of that he loves me no matter what, and people can take my stuff, but they ain't taking Jesus from here. I'm an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror. I mean, it's good to be a conqueror, right? But being more than a conqueror, that's like over the top, God. He's like, yep, that's what I gave you through Jesus. Yep. You're going to be more than over the top. You're more than just conquering. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is good news for us. We can choose. We can choose to set our mind on life and peace. Choose to set our mind on the Spirit. And we'll have good results. We'll have life and we'll have peace. And that's what he died to give us. That's what he died to give us. So in the morning when you wake up, if you need the boxing gloves, okay. But just choose the Spirit. Boom, flash, you're out of the picture. I'm walking in the Spirit today, no matter what happens. Help me, Jesus. And that power, charge into the power. That's speaking in tongues. That's charging your battery up. So when you need that, do it. And when you mess up, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Pick yourself up. Ask for help. And get back on the track. I'm choosing to walk in the peace of Jesus today. Our dear sister Cheryl used to always say that. She might have had whole kinds of stuff going on in her family or whatever, but she would say, how are you, sister? And she would say, I'm choosing to walk in the peace of Jesus today. Hallelujah. I want to be like that. Every day, I want to choose life and peace all the time. We can do it. He's on the inside of us, helping us. He intercedes for us, it even says. He intercedes for us in groanings and words that we can't express. And that's what praying in tongues does. He prays through us. So in this battle of the Spirit versus the flesh, pray in the Spirit. It's a weapon that we have. It's a tool that we have to strengthen us, to strengthen our spirit. So we choose the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.